The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 35. Please turn to page 223 of the New Testament in the Korean Bible. Allow me to read the words of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you, night and day, with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Amen. Paul, on the way to Jerusalem, where imprisonment and trials await him, preached his final will to the elders of Ephesus and Miletus. Paul decided that after his death, no one could see his name or his face, and we went over the meaning of his final will and testament last week. Today, on the fifth week of examining Paul's will, we find it continues into the first part of verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Paul told the elders of Ephesus, keep watch over yourselves. In Greek, a present imperative implies continuation and repetition. Paul did not command them to keep watch once, but again and again. He first commanded the elders of Ephesus to do so for themselves, and then he spoke of all the flock, implying that they should keep watch for all the congregation called to the church. The Greek verb proseko, translated into keep watch, means to attend to or to watch against. Paul explains why the elders of Ephesus must keep watch first. In the latter part of verse 28, it says, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. The church of Ephesus was built by Paul, and Paul watched over the church for 3 years. Paul was the one who taught the gospel and carried out baptisms and designated elders. But he did not say he made them shepherds of the church. He made it clear that the Holy Spirit made them shepherds of the church of Ephesus. The role of shepherd, according to Paul, is to keep watch over the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. The Greek word episkopos, which is translated as shepherd, means manager or protector. Verse 29 says, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock.
Savage wolves refers to heretics or false prophets. Paul knew that once he left Ephesus for good, heretics and false prophets would seek out Ephesus and try to entice the congregation. As long as he was in Ephesus, he could defend against these heretics and false prophets. But once he left, the job would be given to the elders of Ephesus. So Paul commanded them to keep watch. But there was a greater reason why the elders of Ephesus needed to keep watch. Verse 30 says, "Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them." Now Paul is in the middle of preaching his final will to the elders of Ephesus. If so, wouldn't it be best for him to say nice words to the effect that "I trust you to carry out your calling in my place"? But Paul's words were a complete surprise. He spoke with conviction, saying that among the elders of Ephesus, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them for their own means, like heretics or false prophets. The Greek verb diastrepho, which is translated as distort, means to twist. He was saying that among the elders of Ephesus were those who would twist God's word for their own means. Here Paul did not use the singular term man, but plural men. He was saying with conviction that not just one person, but several among the elders of Ephesus would try to intentionally distort God's word for their own ends. Faith is to deny oneself before the absolute standard, which is the word of God. Yet we who are sinners confess our belief in God, but always try to use or twist his word for our own desires. Paul here points out the dangers of this to the elders of Ephesus. This is the shortcut to ruin for not only ourselves, but the people around us. Paul, for the sake of protecting the church from heretics and false prophets on the outside, and in order to stop people from falling into the trap of twisting God's holy word for their own ends, commanded the elders of Ephesus to keep themselves always. And he explained what the elders of Ephesus needed to do from now on. Verse 31 says, "So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you, night and day, with tears." During the 3 years he stayed in Ephesus, Paul did not just spread the gospel to the people of Ephesus. He used the word of God to encourage the Christians who accepted the gospel to pray in tears, day and night. Paul entreated the elders of Ephesus to awake and live like him for the people of the church. Verse 32 says, "Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Paul did not commit them to the important or powerful people of Ephesus. Paul committed them to God and to the word of his grace. In other words, he was entreating the elders of Ephesus to commit their lives to only God and the word of God. This was because only people who completely commit themselves to God can be built up through the word of God and encourage others and eternally receive the inheritance of heaven. Let us look at verses 33 to 35. "I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Paul never set his goal to be silver or gold or clothing, which represented worldly goods 2,000 years ago. Instead, Paul, who was skilled at tent making, was self-sufficient in his missionary life. With his own hands, he made and sold tents and supported his own mission work. Even further, he says here that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. He not only supported himself, but the costs of his companions as well. This was apparent in not only his own words. He says here, "You yourselves know." The elders of Ephesus all knew Paul's sacrifice. They had seen this, and they all knew it in their hearts. Paul, by helping those who are weak through worldly goods, showed us an example of true faith, that giving rather than receiving was the foundation of a blessed life. So Paul entreated the elders of Ephesus to also live as examples for the people of the church. This was the reason why the Lord, through Paul, had selected them to become elders. Paul's final will and testament to the elders of Ephesus is very different from the pastors and elders of the Korean church today. Most of the people of the Korean church say that church positions are for service. But in reality, they perceive these positions as social classes. Candidate deacons are considered higher than the congregation, and deacons higher than candidate deacons, and elders and pastors are at an even higher level. Protestantism was born out of a movement against the class system of hierarchy in the Roman Catholic Church and argued for the equal priesthood of all believers. Yet only here in Korea do we find Protestantism mired in the trap of false class hierarchy. As I mentioned to you 10 years ago, when we meditated on Acts chapter 1, verse 1, John Calvin's Protestant Reformation, which flowered in the 16th century in Geneva, was the spirit of the Bible, revolutionizing a church and society distorted under the dictatorship of the Pope. John Calvin argued for a system of elders in the church, but only as a representative body that could stand against the dictatorship of the Pope. Is a protestation against the hierarchy of the Catholic Church? So John Calvin called the church he led not the Presbyterian Church, but the Reformed Church. And he made sure this system was always flexible and open to change in order to carry out the absolute Word of God, which is the foundation of the church. John Calvin did not argue that the system of elders in Geneva was absolute in form or content. So the elder system of the Reformed Church, which spread over Europe, could not be twisted or distorted into a class hierarchy. But in Scotland, John Knox saw Calvin's Reformed Church as a system centered on elders and gave birth to the Presbyterian Church. Although many think the term came from John Calvin, the term the Presbyterian Church actually came from John Knox. And John Knox's Presbyterian Church traveled from Scotland to America. The fact that John Knox's Presbyterian Church perceived the church to be a system centered on elders meant that there was room for positions in the church to be wrongly seen as a class hierarchy. As a result, the Presbyterian Church in the United States was less popular than the Baptist or Methodist churches. An elected elder could hold that position for life in the Presbyterian Church. And in America, which valued freedom, and where even the president had terms in office, they could not accept this. So today, the Presbyterian Church of the USA, or the PCUSA, is quite small, and it allows elders to be selected from those from age 19 to 90. Elders can represent those in their 90s and those in their teens. And so the Presbyterian Church of the USA makes clear that the position of elder is a position of service, representing age and function, not a class or hierarchy. And of course, there are checks and balances against the power of the pastor. But the system of elders in the Presbyterian Church, which came from America to Korea 130 years ago, melded with patriarchy and hierarchies in social relations in Korean society and became a class system. Because the positions of pastor and elder were seen as class levels, candidate deacons and deacons were seen as classes on the way to becoming an elder. And the position of kwansa became a class for women unknown to any church in the world, let alone the Bible. Years have passed, and yet, among the Protestant churches of the world, only the Korean church is wearing an old, outdated, unbiblical outfit that should have been thrown away a long time ago. Our church was created on the calling to prepare for the road to the 200th anniversary of the Korean church. This calling calls us to create rivers and deserts and roads in the wilderness in order to make strong the foundation of the future of the Korean church. For this purpose, the church has set up institutions such as the Church Council and the Managing Council, and the Elder Kwansa title system. The Church Council comprises 79 council members made up of each service team leader, and 306 district leaders make up the Managing Council. This symbolizes John Calvin's representative body of the Reformed Church, created to make sure no one person could dictate the operation of the church. And the Elder Kwansa title system of our church, which makes sure anyone regardless of wealth or social status is given the title of Elder Kwansa in respect according to the church rules, was created to set right the problems of the hierarchical class system of elders and kwansa in the Korean church. The church rules governing the elder kwansa title system and the conditions therein can be found on the church's webpage. When Judas Iscariot, who sold Jesus for 30 silver pieces, committed suicide, the apostles chose Matthias in his place as an apostle. At the time, Peter clearly set out the conditions of the apostle to be chosen in Judas's place. The condition stated the apostle must be someone who served Jesus with the other apostles during Jesus' holy life in the public until his resurrection. Matthias, who became the new apostle, fulfilled this condition. When the Mother Church in Jerusalem chose deacons for the first time in the history of the Christian Church, they also had conditions. They had to be known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. And seven who met these conditions were chosen to become the first deacons. Paul, who set out on three mission voyages beginning in Acts chapter 13, traveled across the Mediterranean world, setting up churches and selecting elders. But nowhere in Acts do we find the conditions Paul established for elders. The Greek word presbyteros, which was translated as elder, is a comparative term of presbus, which means elderly person, and carries the meaning a more elderly person or senior. The Jews from the days of the Old Testament respected elderly and revered seniors as presbyteros, or elders of the community. In accordance with this Jewish custom, in every place he spread the gospel, Paul chose elderly and revered seniors among those who accepted the gospel to be elders and keep watch over the church. The elders of Ephesus were the same. This position was not a class or hierarchy, and there were no conditions attached to it. These were people who would become managers and protectors to love and serve the church after Paul left. So Paul first commanded them to keep watch over themselves from external attacks and internal temptation. And he encouraged them to weep and pray day and night, as he did for them. And he entreated them to wholly commit themselves to God's word, and to use their belongings in the service of frail and weak church members as examples of faith. They were raised as elders not because they qualified for the position, but only due to the grace of God. And so he counseled them to serve the church as examples of faith. In accordance with the 2009 amendment to the rules of this church, beginning last year, those who met the conditions of the rules are called elder and kwansa. And others will take the title beginning January 1st of next year. To those of you who are already elders or kwansa, or will take the title soon, I would like to make an earnest request. The elder kwansa title system of this church is not a class or hierarchy. It is not a reward for past service or a bouquet of honor. Instead, it is a yoke of service. So even more so than the service you provide right now, we are asking you to serve our church and congregation even more. So I would like to entreat those of you who are titled or will assume this title to obey Paul's final will and testament. For the sake of the congregation and yourselves, keep yourselves from external attacks and internal temptation to distort the word of God for your own ends. Become people of prayer who pray in tears night and day for the people of the church. Commit yourselves wholly to God's word and become people of the word whose lives carry out the word of God. Let your goal not be the possessions of the world, but empty your pockets to help the weak. For the sake of all the people of the church who call you elder and kwansa, become examples of true faith. When you do so, the elder kwansa title system of our church will become a clear alternative to the problems of class hierarchy of the elder kwansa system in the Korean church. In our efforts to make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert toward the 200th anniversary of the Korean church will not be in vain. But if those who are called elders in kwansa and those who call them so mistake these titles for class hierarchy even in this church, the elder kwansa title system of this church will only make the problems of the Korean church worse and act as a barrier to change. And if so, the current elder kwansa title system must be done away with altogether. Today's scripture does not apply to just elders or kwansa. As I said earlier, one of the fundamental doctrines of the Protestant Church and the fundamental doctrine of the reform of the Protestant Church is the equal priesthood of all believers. So in the Protestant Church, especially the Reformed Church, regardless of gender, age, or social status, or wealth, we are each presbyteros who must manage and watch over ourselves and those around us. Let us all keep Paul's final will in our hearts. Let us not forget a life of faith begins from keeping watch over what should be watched. Let us, like Paul, always keep watch over ourselves and live as presbyteros, or examples of faith, in the presence of ourselves, our families, church members, colleagues, and the people of the world. The Lord will raise our lives and renew our families, our workplaces, churches, and society. On this third Sunday of Advent, in which we commemorate the birth of the Lord Savior, this is the message God gives us through the scripture today. Let us pray. On this third Sunday of Advent, in which we commemorate the birth of the Lord Savior and await his next coming, we give thanks for the grace of understanding today. Lord, who began your life in the holy world by keeping watch from the temptation of Satan, let us begin our lives as Christians by keeping watch against all that Christians must refrain from for the sake of ourselves and those around us. Like Jesus, let us pray in tears for ourselves, our congregation, and our nation. Let us wholly commit ourselves to your word day by day, so that we may not twist your words for our own ends. Let us not make possessions our goal, but remember always that we are tools to serve others around us. As we mature as presbyteros, let our families and workplaces and church be renewed due to us. Let our elders in Gwanza follow Paul's final will and become the advance guard in fighting against the problems of class hierarchy and the elder Gwanza system of the Korean church. Let the 100th anniversary Memorial Church, which makes roads in the wilderness and rivers in the deserts toward the 200th anniversary of the Korean church, always live on as a reformed church, renewing the world. Amen.